Ask Catherine. We've got a lot of good questions. One question about Thrive posted on the blog. We had a comment about all the different things that has gone wrong since the subscriber watched Thrive, including now the Consumer Protection Agency saying that it was interested in IRA. They really haven't said anything more than that, but of course we all get spooked when that happens. And then talking about having to leave Hawaii because of Fukushima radiation, the move to control the internet, the free trade treaties, then the Monsanto Protection Act that we talked about 2 weeks ago, and then finally having their accounts pushed back from Switzerland, and now the gold price smashing down. It kind of feels some days like everywhere you turn, the tapeworm's there to sort of cut you off or steal your assets. And I think that's an important post because there is no doubt that we are being hit from all sides. And to me, it's why it's so, so important to come clean, to do everything you can to remove the connections between you and the tapeworm or anybody supporting them. And that's one of the reasons we call this the year of coming clean. I feel like our entire society is going through a detox process, where it's not just the leadership doing these things, we're all complicit through the red button problem. I've told that story many times. If you don't know it, you can just go to the blog and do a search for red button. And I have it in several of my articles. But we're all complicit in this, and I think we're going through a bit of a detox process, and it's going to feel worse before it feels better. Again, I don't think the pro-centralization team is going to win, but, you know, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I'm going to keep proceeding along the lines that they're not going to. And again, the more each one of us can do to come clean, the more we protect ourselves, but we do it in a way that helps protect everybody else. Another question. I've heard that the bullion banks or some other entities made millions and maybe billions of dollars on the precious metals price drop April 2nd. Doesn't it cost money to sell metals at a loss in a declining market? I just don't get how this manipulation is net positive financially for those doing it. I would think that there would be a loss, and that loss could be acceptable due to the political or perpetual goal that was achieved in the action. Also, how does this forceful plunge in the spot price represent a transfer of wealth to the controllers if the people holding physical are not selling anything on those low valuations? A couple questions in this. The first thing to understand is if you know the market's going down, you can make a lot of money selling gold that you don't own. It's called going short. And there are literally thousands of different ways of doing this and many different vehicles. So I'm going to just grossly oversimplify. But if I know the price is going down and I sell it short, that is, I sell it when I don't own it, then after the price goes down, I can buy it in to go ahead and deliver it at the lower price. So in fact, you can make fantastic amounts of money going short. There's also plenty of vehicles now. If you go into Yahoo Finance, you can find many ETFs, exchange-traded funds, that are reverse vehicles. So you can bet against, you can bet on something falling, and the value of your ETF goes up as the value of the thing you're betting against goes down. So yes, you can make money. Now, the other thing is, if you look at the powers that be that are trying to bring in tremendous amounts of inventory at a lower price, if you've got lots of shortages to cover, gold's trading at $1,700 and you have lots of shortages and need to buy in, you wham the price down, you bring everything in at $1,380, $1,400, you're much better off than trying to cover your shorts at $1,700, and you don't really care that the price of your other gold is valued at $1,700, you know, is gone down to $1,400 because, you know, there's no reason to care. Now, if you had to mark to market on some collateral or something, you might care. But if you look at the people who view gold as the primary source of payment mechanisms in the global currency system, you know, they tend not to think of this in terms of nominal prices. Okay, another question. What's really happening? Are they taking over the industrial and financial world, or are they imploding? It's neither. You need a balanced view. China is a real juggernaut in terms of people and talent. They have tremendous problems. One is, how do you keep that many people employed? Two, there are real environmental issues, and they're short of water. So this is a country you know, that has many, many challenges, but they also have remarkable people, remarkable resources. So I think China is not going to go away, but there's no doubt you've seen tremendous misallocation of capital in China, as you have seen around the world. And, of course, China is deeply dependent on America and the developed world continuing to consume. And if we're going to dramatically reduce consumption in the developed world, then China's going to have a real problem. But China could be in for a major correction, but China's here to stay, and the long-term growth outlook on China is very strong. Finally, Thrive is an amazing movie. Thank you so much for risking what you did in order to bring the message to more people. You're very welcome. Then, Catherine, I want to share with you two links to give you some perspective on the film Thrive. You may or may not know that progressive people interviewed by the Gambles have signed a letter disavowing their participation in the film. They have publicly disassociated themselves from it. Here is the link for their letter written by John Robbins. Also is a link to the Huffington Post article called Thrive Deconstructing the Film that subsequently inspired the publication of a book, blah, blah, blah. I watched the entire film, and by the end of it was so alarmed that I searched the net to find any critiques of it. So many of the people who were interviewed I respect and to whom I listen. The two links above are enough. It's very funny. As Foster and Kimberly were working on Thrive, and I give them great credit because they sat down and they said, okay, here's a blank piece of paper. Let's take responsibility to define what the problem is and what the solutions are. One of the great things about Thrive was that they had the courage to say, Virginia, there is a conspiracy. There is an effort globally to centralize control, and it is not in our best interest to allow it to happen, and we need to understand what we're up against. And as Kimberly has often said, you know, that's a pretty gruesome thing to face. Once you face it, you get a breakthrough because you start to see real solutions. If you look at a lot of the people that were interviewed in Thrive, a number of them were people that I had tried to warn Kimberly and Foster were not trustworthy in this respect. After the movie came out, they disassociated, which was unusual because they had had an opportunity to see the movie before it came out to make comments. Some of them saw it and said nothing and only waited until after it came out. Now, I talked with some of them and was approached by some of them, and here's what was going on. First of all, a lot of those people have their identity, their livelihood, as sort of what I call the modified hangout group. Their job is to come out and say, oh, these things are terrible, but the system is fundamentally trustworthy and we can trust, you know, in it. And so they will never take that last step and say, you know, there is a global centralization scheme and it's as seriously horrible as, you know, what Foster and Kimberly are saying. So they're part of the modified hangout team, and it's their job to make sure nobody comes out and tells you the real truth. The other thing is, I had some people who had signed the letter that Robbins wrote, and they were afraid. I talked to them, and they had clearly had the fear of God in them. They were afraid they would be targeted. They were afraid they'd be shunned. They were terribly afraid of what would happen to them if they didn't go along. I have some theories as to who was behind the scenes organizing. I was approached by somebody who was, I believe, was working for them, and it's somebody I've had a similar kind of experience with before. They're not very nice, and they very much are paid and work for the pro-centralization team, despite having a reputation as a wonderful progressive leading for real solutions, blah, blah, blah. So the reality is the world is not what it seems. Now, I say this, and you and I are never going to believe or agree with everything that somebody puts in a two-hour documentary. It's just not possible. So if you sat down with a blank piece of paper and came up with your definition of problem solutions, I dare say each one of us would be different, and not just from Foster and Kimberly, but from each other. And that's why our philosophy on the Salieri Report is we are each responsible to come up with our own maps. And watching Foster and Kimberly go through the challenge of coming up with theirs, I think it's been a remarkable contribution and remarkable to help the rest of us sit down and try and do the same. And it's that collaboration and that coming clean which is so powerful. Now, when we pre-recorded the interview this week, it was just yesterday, We lost a little snippet from the front, and so I'm just going to brief you on that before we start. I had asked Foster and Kimberly to give us an update on how the movie has done. It came out on November 11th, 2011, and since then it came out in 10 languages. It's now been translated into another 14 languages. It's out, you can see it on their website, in 24 languages, and as far as I know, in this genre, it makes it the global phenomenon, which to me is very, very exciting because I know after many, many years of working on this, it was a real labor of love for both of them. It is now getting that they've made it available for free. It's now getting a million views a month, and it's inspired a conversation that Foster, I know, loves to do it. He's been traveling around the world, leading all sorts of conversations about what is really going on and what can we do about it, what's our vision. So I think the response has been very powerful, but I think it's going to continue steadily. 1 million views a month is a tremendous amount, and that doesn't include a lot of the copies that they can't count. And so I think as we're watching 1 million a month, we're really watching something that's building to a critical mass of people who are breaking through and saying, oh, you know, we can't really trust the leadership. We're on our own. Great, it is what it is. Let's get by the modified hangouts. Let's recognize what's really going on. And with that, let's start to move to real solutions. So with that, let's play our interview.